Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Mike, I guess the big story is that Deshaun Watson's going to play on Sunday at the Pound against Arizona. I'll tell you what, I don't care if a Walker or Watson play because I think the Browns are going to beat the snot out of Arizona. Arizona has no quarterback now, and they weren't good when they had one.
I don't disagree with you there. It is going to be Deshaun Watson. Now, And Watson yesterday wasn't sure. I'm tired of this guy. We're going to go by him because I want to get to Jonathan Gannon. Now that he's playing, it is what it is. Yesterday he was doing the whole, I don't know, maybe, I don't know when I'm ready. This guy's funny. Now, we haven't played a lot of Jonathan Gannon. He's like, he takes himself way too seriously. So is Kyler Murray going to play? He's been officially listed as questionable on the injury report that just came out. Gannon said about an hour ago that they're going to decide on the plane. I mean, whether it's going to be Kyler Murray or Clayton Tune, the rookie out of Houston, as the starter. This was him the other day. Like, they were trying to ask him if Murray was ready. Get a load of Jonathan Gannon.
How do you plan on divvying up the reps between Kyler and Tune?
Got a good plan. They'll all practice.
On Tune, I'm guessing there's a lot to find out. What do you feel like you know right now for sure with Tune?
He's going to go in there if he's in there and let it rip.
How was Kyler this morning, just knowing this week he could possibly be back?
Awesome. Fired up. Ready to go.
What a guy.
He was really good in the team meeting today. Put him on a spot. He was excellent.
This guy, what's this guy's problem? Like, you know, listen, here's just a little bit of PR advice for Mr. Gannon and others that might deem themselves worthy of an NFL head coaching job. It goes without saying that when you're paid millions of dollars to be the head coach of an NFL team, that you are going to have to talk to the media every single day of your life. And if you can't handle that and you don't like it, then find a new profession. What is the deal with the tough guy thing and acting like everybody's an idiot and beneath you and you're not going to give any answers, give one word statements? You know, Gannon, I thought there was just really pathetic.
That's exactly what he was. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Friday, SiriusXM 159 Sports Byline. Great to have you with us. This team's awful. It is now 10, by the way, a flat 10. Browns minus 10, 38.5 for the total. I'm probably willing to lay the 10. Even with Watson out there, I don't know what to expect. I'm probably willing to lay the 10, Scotty.
Well, first of all, if Kyler Murray plays, let's say hypothetically he goes. He hasn't played in a year and a half. I'm not scared of him. Coming in raw. I don't want to hear, you know, let it rip. And he's had, you know, a decent practice and all the rest. Practice is a joke in the NFL. All they do is walkthroughs and get injured. The games are all that matter. As you know, I don't let my stars practice if I'm the head coach.
No.
You're not practicing. We're going to let all the hacks practice. And you're going to hear about what we're doing in your ear until you're driven nuts. Like meetings, film, and we'll drive you nuts with what your job is on Sunday, but I'm not putting you out on a practice field to blow out your knee or tear your Achilles. But I just do not believe, first of all, I don't like him as a quarterback to begin with. I think he should have played baseball. I think he's too small. People say, oh, you know, he's so quick and he's so elusive. He's like Fran Tarkenton. When he, you know, scrambles, no one can catch him and he gets first downs and everything else. There's no denying that he can play. There's no denying that he can throw the rock. There's also no denying that he's 4 foot tall. And when I am looking at my lineman's ass, and I can't see it down the field, I don't care what anybody says, that's a disadvantage. I don't listen to anybody. I'm not having some 4 foot quarterback running my NFL team unless I like getting fired, because this is what's going to happen. This guy Gannon, his shelf life is nil. Shelf life is nil. First of all, he comes across as a guy that shouldn't even have the job with what I just saw. And he's had a great start in the desert, like everyone else that coaches there. You go there to have your career end.
Go back to being a coordinator if you don't like talking to the media. Yeah, it's kind of what it comes down to.
Because they don't interview them
at the end of the day.
Ever.
Right. Bears are visiting New Orleans this week. I have Derek Carr for you. I'm going to ask you, do you think that Derek Carr is about to describe the 2-6 Chicago Bears? You would think that they're playing the 85 Bears defense this week. Here's Derek Carr.
Yeah, I never have looked at records. Like, obviously, you're in the league, you know what guys are going through, but I don't look at records. I turn the tape on, and I just do my assessment the same way every single time. So I've been there where you're like, oh, we're playing a team. Oh, that's their record. And then you turn the film on, you're like, oh, you're pretty good. And then they show up and they punch you in the mouth, you know, because you turn the tape on and you see talent, you know, all over their defense. You know, they're watching the offense, I'm watching the defense. And I see that defense fly around. They made a trade for another great pass rusher. They got good corners. The safeties or ball hawks, they fly around, really athletic nickel. The linebackers can run and hit and very smart. You know, the D-line, inside stout players. I play with Andrew. You know, I know what he's about.
Here?
Strong run, gap, you know, stuffer. And so if you don't bring it, you know, in this league, you're going to get beat.
Well, the Bears are 2-6, so they're going to get beat. The Saints are going to win the game. There you go. And we got that done a lot quicker than he did.
Are they going to cover the 8.5, though? I'm going to ask you, are they going to cover that? Because their offense isn't great, the Saints.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm not messing around with betting on teams that stink. I think they both stink.
I agree.
I'm not betting the game. I don't want anything to do with these two losers. I do not buy him for 1 minute. I think he is so fair to Midland, it's not even funny. And you know what? I think the first thing I've seen the Raiders do right in 10 years was let him go. Because all he did was sling it for them for years and nothing ever came of it. He just kept throwing the ball and nothing ever came of it. They never won. And now he's doing the exact same thing in New Orleans. He's average and the Bears suck. So here's me. I'm driving right around that cul-de-sac and going out of the neighborhood. I'm not betting on that game.
Minnesota's in Atlanta this week. Another game with a lot of quarterback problems. Let's hear Arthur Smith. He also doesn't like answering questions. Why is he starting Taylor Heinicke this week? Let's find out.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables, you know, and then really just, like I said, considering the last 72 hours and just kind of where we're at right now going into this week in Minnesota, getting ready to play the Vikings. Obviously, a really good team coming in here. Is going with Taylor, and that's why he's here right now. Right now, it's just we're focused on Minnesota and obviously Taylor. Like I said, there's a lot of variables.
So is this a medical decision then with this, or is this a
just going what I answered about the lot of variables? My answer is not going to change. And there's a lot of variables that go into it. A lot of variables. My answer is not going to change.
Appreciate
the question. Kind of answered that. There's a lot of variables that go in. I understand it, but my answer is not going to change. My answer is not going to change. I know.
Well, at least he's smiling now.
Appreciate the questions. I really do. I'm being serious. Like,
he really is. No, look. I think the guy can coach. I do think he's doing a decent job. But the reason they're starting Taylor Heinicke is because the other kid sucks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always good to catch up with Dr. Zhivago. Dr. David Chow is at Pro Football Doc on X, and you can check out Sports Injury Central, obviously, for all your injury news and skinny around sports and getting ready for the big pain day weekend in the NFL. Doc, good to see you. How bad was that Holcomb knee blowout? It looked to me like his entire knee literally blew out from one side to the other to the back of his leg. Like, I knew right when I saw it a hit, he was finished.
Yeah, you're right. And the biggest worry there isn't just for the knee or for the ligaments. The biggest worry initially is for the artery and nerve. So there's going to be a period of observation, something hospital-wise. I try to be optimistic and say, you know, and look at the bright side. But the reality is this is a big deal for this young man. Look, the Steelers already lost now their top two tacklers with Holcomb and Minkah Fitzpatrick with the hamstring. His news is much worse than perhaps it looked with Treylon Burks from the Titans. Ambulance, all that stuff, hit his head, wasn't moving. But that one didn't look that bad, and indeed he never got taken to the hospital, and he even flew home with the Titans. So at least some upside news for Treylon Burks, not as good for Cole Holcomb.
So they're saying that he's going to make a full recovery from this knee surgery. What does it entail when you have a knee that severely damaged? What are we looking at?
Well, it's at least a posterior cruciate ligament injury. It could be what we call the posterior lateral corner or LCL as well. So it is almost like a knee dislocation, not as severe as Nick Chubb, but this is a big deal recovery for this young man.
The much maligned field at Snoopy MetLife had a bunch of victims again on Sunday with the Giants and Jets losing guys that ended up on the IR. Is it the field or is it bad luck?
Well, probably a little bit of both. Certainly there's some bad luck involved. We just talked about the injuries at Heinz Field or Acrisure. I can't keep track of them all.
That's it.
Stadium. Yeah, that's Kentucky bluegrass, and that was Cole Holcomb, and that was Treylon Burks. And so you get MetLife. And look, you know, we all know Aaron Rodgers' Achilles happened at MetLife, but Kirk Cousins' Achilles happened on grass at Lambeau Field, one of the fields that is praised because of the underground heating and so forth, so it's never the frozen tundra. So injuries can happen on both. Overall, there is some higher risk, in my opinion, for the more major injuries on turf, but it's not completely lopsided in terms of the injury count.
Listen, that Holcomb injury had nothing to do with planning. It had to do with a guy flying through with his body and helmet and smashing his kneecap from one side to the other. He just blew right through his leg. You could see it happen. Last year in Germany, they had nothing but complaints about that field. And here they go back to Frankfurt. Do you expect more problems?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what changes they made to the field or turf. I mean, they have the ability to change the turf, change the fields. I get where players come from when they say, look, you're putting in grass on our NFL stadiums when soccer teams come to play. But soccer guys weigh 150 pounds, and the usage is entirely different and spread out. I don't know that grass lasts as well, and that's a practical consideration. I am on board from a safety perspective that grass is better. And, you know, maybe comes time to legislate footwear and cleats, because that's the other side of the equation for injuries. What kind of cleats you're wearing and how sticky your foot is to the turf or ground in causing injuries.
So Josh Allen's shoulder, do we have anything to worry about here as they go into a big Sunday night game in the jungle against the Bengals?
You know, I don't think much. We've looked at Josh Allen. Josh Allen is obviously as tough as they come. Is he hurting some in the shoulder? Absolutely. Is he injured? We don't think so. Remember, we're in the middle of the season now, week 9, and 85% is a good week. And he's not 100%, but I think he's going to be good to go.
What about Deshaun Watson? He's going to play, and he's had shoulder issues. What do you expect out of him in Cleveland on Sunday? Will he make it through the game?
Well, you know, he himself said it was 4 to 6 weeks timeline, and this is actually week 6. Remember, this is a week 3 injury. This is week 9 now. So I hope so. I think the Browns are taking a leap of faith. I thought they would want several full practices. He really only fully practiced today, and they're doing the same thing they did in week 7, one full practice and starting him. He did not last in week 7, but this is week 9, so I think he does have a chance to last. And what they're saying is he's just even a less than 100% Deshaun Watson is significantly better than P.J. Walker.
What about Ford and Njoku?
They should be able to go, not 100%. Ford with his mild high ankle, maybe some split carry still with Kareem Hunt, et cetera. And Njoku has battled through several injuries in the past, and I think he will be able to go. But it's really the Browns' defense that is going to be the key in that potential victory. It's going to be Clayton Tune, likely, not Kyler Murray. And even if it were Kyler Murray, it would be Kyler Murray's first game back from his multi-ligament knee injury and meniscus repair.
I got to be honest with you. I think the coolest thing I've ever seen when you've done this show is over your shoulder right now. Actually, we're getting a look inside that operating room. I see. I've been on a lot of operating room tables. I've had 12 surgeries. I know what that is behind you. I can see those people walking around with their skivvies on too. How many surgeries do you average per day, Doc?
Depends. This morning we had 4 bigger ones, an ACL meniscus, a proximal distal realignment for a knee dislocation, similar to what Connor McGovern just suffered, the Jets center, similar to what Mekhi Becton had, the Jets tackle. Then we had just had a shoulder instability case. And what was the other one? The other one was a wrist scope and fracture. Yeah, and right now I do keep looking in the mirror or in the camera there. They're actually on what we call turnover and cleanup, because otherwise I would twist, because there was a patient face in there or something.
That would not be good.
It's staff cleaning up in between after the last case. So
yeah, I think
so.
I've been in there. I've seen that move before. I know exactly what they're doing. What's the deal?
It's not a fake Zoom background. It's real, okay?
It is real.
I'll prove it to you that it's real. See, it's real.
I think it's pretty cool. How's the Packers, Alexander and Aaron Jones?
Well, the problem there is Aaron Jones keeps playing through the hamstring. He's never really taken the full time to get it right. So, you know, he gets it to 90%, and then after the game, he goes back to 75%. Then he gets it to 90%, and he gets it back. So, you know, it's going to be a there's two ways to ride this out. Keep playing and get what you can and not be as explosive, or take some time and come back and be explosive. Either way, he'll get there, just not quite yet right now.
What's the deal with Stafford's thumb and Puka Nacua?
Stafford's thumb is a big deal. We said in-game ulnar collateral ligament. That got confirmed, and you saw that big tape job. And just because Sean McVay said, oh, good news, partial ulnar collateral. A, he's already had surgery on that thumb ligament before. B, let me tell you, a thumb ulnar collateral for a throwing quarterback for grip, for throwing, is as important as a pitcher's ulnar collateral at the elbow. And no one would rejoice at partial ulnar collateral on a pitcher. So this is definitely something to watch. And I think he's on the iffy side, Matt Stafford, this week.
Do you think Kyler Murray's going to play?
I don't. I mean, at this point in time, good. He went doubtful to questionable. Next week, they're at home against Atlanta. That's probably a better starting point for him than on the road against the Cleveland defense.
15 seconds. What about Fields?
Fields, we told you, multi-week absence. This is week 3. No guarantee that he's back next week either yet. The thumb is that important after a dislocation.
All right, Doc. Great stuff. Really cool that we got to see the operating room today. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week, buddy.
All right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Davis Lee Roth, Matic, very popular on Coast to Coast. You can catch him on Fantasy Sports Today with Scoop Mish on Saturday mornings at 7 to 9 Eastern on Sports Grid TV and all of our radio affiliates as well. He's a badass. Let me ask you, I want to start with like some hot stove stuff, if you're cool with that, off season. Because really all that matters is at the top of the list is Ohtani. Now, I have this sneaking suspicion he's going to end up with the San Francisco Giants. They lost out on Judge. They got more money than God. They have no team up there anymore. All these guys, Crawford, they're finished. I mean, they literally have nothing. They need this guy worse, way worse than anyone. And that includes, I'm sick of hearing about the Los Angeles Dodgers getting every player known to man or the Yankees. Let's get real here. Where do you think he's going?
I mean, I know you're sick of hearing it, but don't the Dodgers need him? I mean, you and I wrote off the Dodgers pretty early, you know, before the playoffs even started, because we just looked at their rotation. And we're like, they don't have the horses. I guess the question would be, what is Ohtani profile as moving forward? Does a team want to just sign him as a designated hitter? Does a team want to stick him in the outfield? Does a team want to use him as a designated hitter and a reliever? Does some team think that they can make him a starting pitcher? Because based on what I have read, I think it's going to pretty much be up to the team that ends up signing him in terms of what they want to use him as. I think he's still game to try and pitch. I think he's probably not going to pitch this upcoming season, but then after that, he's good to move back into the rotation. I guess it kind of depends. Because if I recall correctly, he also had one of these hybrid arm surgeries. So I guess we'll figure out. I like the idea of him going to the Giants. The teams I don't want him to go to, don't want him to go to the Red Sox, don't want him to go to the Cubs, definitely do not want him to go back to the Angels. I mean, that would be the worst case scenario is him going back to the Angels. Dodgers, Mets, Giants, Yankees, Mariners would probably be my favorite one, just because I love the idea of Julio Rodriguez and Ohtani there on the same team. And how about the Texas Rangers? I mean, the Rangers have shown a real willingness to spend. They saw a hole in their rotation. They spent to fix that hole. They added Max Scherzer at the trade deadline. I mean, why not the Rangers? Like, it feels like they are due for another marquee addition this offseason. I think he would fit there great.
Wow, that's crazy. You know what else is crazy is my feeling is that there's been a shift from Latin to Japanese players in an influx of talent into the majors. We've already seen Senga, Yoshida, what they've done. Now this Yamamoto, they're saying that this pitcher, he strikes out 10 a game. He's the two-time best pitcher in Japan, back-to-back seasons. He wins their Cy Young, if you will. The Yankees are hot on him. They're saying he's going to command over $200 million, and it doesn't end there. The Jung-Hoo Lee, who was the Korean MVP last year, is going to make the jump to the show as well. I'm hearing more about Japanese and Korean players than I am Caribbean and Latin players.
I know, it's sort of interesting to see that shift. I guess maybe one of the things that makes it a little bit easier for us is that, like, you know, theoretically, if I wanted to stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning, I could watch the Japanese league. I've done it. You know, the middle of COVID, I was watching the South Korean league, you know, the Doosan Bears. I was there in the Pond League. There are a couple guys, I think, who are going to be over. One of them is definitely going to be Yamamoto. Now, what's interesting about him is he dominates over there. Bunch of strikeouts, you know, 1.5 ERA, 150 innings. He's a right-hander, but you don't see this very often. Only 5'10". I mean, how many Major League Baseball pitchers are under 6 feet? You know, it's just like literally due to the physics of the way the ball travels to the mound, they are at a little bit of a disadvantage. I'm hearing the same thing as you. The Yankees are really in on it. Another little interesting wrinkle on Yamamoto. Apparently a bunch of Major League Baseball scouts and GMs, including Brian Cashman, a favorite here on Pharrell Coast to Coast. We love Cashman. We think he does a great job for the New York Yankees. He was in attendance to watch Yamamoto pitch a no-hitter. That's a little bit interesting. There's a left-handed starting pitcher, Shota Imanga, who is going to be coming over. I don't know as much about him. He's one of these guys over in Japan who already picked up that splitter that all these guys over in Major League Baseball were throwing this year. And then how about this? Absolutely hilarious. But our guy, Masahiro Tanaka, obviously was in Major League Baseball, went back over, has been pitching in the Nippon League for the last 2 years, was pretty good. There are rumors that because his contract is ending over there, that he actually might come back over, that he might go Japan, United States, Japan, and then come back. He's only 35, and he is an international free agent. There are some reporting that he's coming back over this year, which is kind of funny.
Do you think the Yankees would want him back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, who? Like, literally, who knows what the Yankees are going to do? They have a need for it. I mean, kind of everyone needs it. I would probably depend on how much he wants to be paid at this stage of his career, because he's obviously not like super elite anymore. You know, that stage of his career is over. And he's got 991 strikeouts, which is third all time amongst Japanese born pitchers, only behind Darvish and Hideo Nomo. I think he does probably come back, but my guess would it wouldn't be a marquee team. We might see this dude on the Cubs or the Guardians or something like that.
So, Kershaw had his shoulder operated on, and I think he's toast. And I think he's old, and he rarely pitches consistently anymore. Do you believe the Dodgers would go steal Blake Snell because he's a free agent and he's so dominant?
That would be the most Los Angeles Dodgers move ever, is to watch that guy dominate for another team in their division, see him become a free agent and say, Blake, buddy, here is a blank check. You and your agent, you tell us how much you want on that check, and we'll go ahead and sign you. Because I do think the Dodgers did really want Ohtani, but I think the fact that he's not going to be pitching for this upcoming year might change. Although they did have some absolutely gaping holes. I mean, they were playing a lot of dudes who were not really Major League Baseball hitters in their outfield. But, I mean, how much money can the Dodgers spend in one offseason? Like, it's kind of like the Mets. Like, there's absolutely no limit. If they want to spend $750 million of guaranteed contracts in the offseason, like, they would do it.
Do you think Bellinger leaves the Cubs, or do they keep him?
No, for sure leaves the Cubs. I mean, that was your classic 1 year, prove to me that you could do it deal. He was good. The Cubs do not want to give an 8 year, 9 year, 10 year contract to Cody Bellinger. No chance. He is, you know what? Bellinger is going to be the classic, get signed by the Mets, and then absolutely stinks it up. That, like, you know, that is coming down the pipe. Just lock that in right now.
Listen to him. All right, Davis, let's talk about some of your plays on a pain-free Friday for tonight. You're going to start in Laramie, Wyoming.
Starting in Laramie, Wyoming, we are going to take the Wyoming Cowboys at home to Colorado State. Wyoming, really good home team. They tend to struggle a little bit on the road. I mean, I don't know what that environment is. They beat Texas Tech. They actually played Texas. The scoreboard looked pretty lopsided. They lost 31-10, but they were tied at halftime. They've been good in the division. Colorado State, they're just not very good. They're 3-5. They can't pass. They can't run. Wyoming runs pretty good at home. I also like the props of their starting running back. If you're looking to build some same game parlays there, but we are riding the Wyoming Cowboys at home in some Friday night Mountain West action.
All right. So the NBA in season group stage starts tonight, and you're playing two games. Start with the Dallas Denver game at the Ball in the Mile High City.
All right, right now we are starting with the Nuggets. I mean, I would just say most nights that we do this, I'm probably going to be on the Nuggets side, really, especially when they are at home. Kyrie Irving is banged up right now. Now, Doncic has started the year absolutely on fire. The guy is unbelievable. Like, I love Luka, but Jokic is the best player in the NBA. The Nuggets have this huge home court advantage. They also have their home court advantage is more pronounced at the beginning of the year when dudes aren't 100% in game shape yet, and they're out there sucking wind up there in the mountains in Colorado. So we are taking them at home here in the spot with the points, the Nuggets at home to the Dallas Mavericks.
So another one of your NBA plays tonight is in Oak City, the Thunder and the Warriors, and I'm going the other way on you here. What are you doing?
All right. Well, really, this one is pretty simple to me. I mean, I'm buying on the Warriors. I think that continuity is so important in the NBA. A lot of teams don't have it. The Warriors definitely do, even mixing in with Chris Paul. But really, to me, it's the Thunder without Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He is their only marquee player. He's dealing with this knee injury right now. I think he's questionable for this game, so we'll see if he ends up going or not. But just anytime Shea is not 100%, I think that is a difficult spot for them. So taking the Warriors on the road here.
Ugh, I didn't know he was having problems today, and I bet on them this morning. I bet on the Thunder with the points. That really sucks. Thanks for kicking me in the teeth. What about the Heat and Wizards game? That one's in Miami, and the Heat have not looked good at all.
No, they haven't, but I think they got a little recipe to feel a little bit better, and that recipe is a defensive backcourt led by Jordan Poole, a defensive frontcourt led by Kyle Kuzma. God bless the Wizards, man. They are going to be – they've been bad the last couple of years, but they're going to be special bad this year. So we're going to take the over here. I think the Heat can get there, and the Wizards are going to keep scoring down in garbage time because Jordan Poole loves to get those numbers before he goes out to the club. So we are on the over on 225 in Heat Wizards in this game.
Well, at least Poole has a place so far where no one's punched him in the mouth, unlike last year when his teammate Draymond Green took care of business against him. We'll see how he does in D.C. playing with Kuzma. They can both fill it up. I agree with you, though. Should be a wild game, high scoring. Have a good weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So BetMGM customers can receive a 25% increased odds boost token to use on an NHL wager. We told you about the NBA one. They got an NHL one as well. The odds boost token. I'm loving life. A minimum minus 300 odds and max stake of $25. Sign into your BetMGM account to get the details. Go to BetMGM.com for more skinny on it. If you're a new user, just get the app on iOS or Android in the Play Store. Sign up, put money in your account, and start playing. You're going to love it. The NHL Odds Boost token available now at BetMGM on their app. It's badass. All right, Carver High, we pick it up where we left off. We're still talking NFL Pain Day Skinny.
We certainly are. We started with this game, but I did want to at least give you the numbers and get your thoughts on it. Drake London is going to be out for the Falcons. This has gone down to -3.5. We saw 4 and 4.5 for most of the week. 37.5 is now the total. We know the deal for Minnesota also. They're going to start this rookie from BYU, Jaren Hall. But they have Dobbs, who they acquired this week. I would expect to see him at some point, considering how Hall is. I don't know, Scotty. I lean Vikings here with the points, despite the quarterback situation, just because every single Falcon game is like down to the death. Like it's down to the last play every single week. Just feel like I want the 3.5 there.
It's like a Smith's team plays like the Steelers. They just want to grind, muck it up, play physical, play defense. Their offense has been rather anemic, and then they finally gave up on Ritter. Let's just stop with all the nonsense. Art Smith won't bash his young player and ruin his mind by telling him that he sucked, and that's why they went with Taylor Heinicke and all the variables talk. That's what that variables means. The other guy sucked. Here's the deal. You're right. Every game they play is close. So the play has to be to take the points with the Vikings. And if you're betting on Minnesota, you're hoping that Hall can actually play decent and not turn the ball over. It for me, when they put in backups and young quarterbacks who haven't got the experience and the game time reps in game, the mistakes are what kill them in the third, fourth quarter. Late game mistakes lead to losses. So if the kid can play and not turn it over, I think the Vikings will be in the game because the Falcons don't blow anybody out, ever.
Vikings defense has been a lot better, too, the last 4 or 5 weeks, if you go look. They have really stepped up as a unit. The Giants head west to Vegas, Scotty. where they will face the Raiders this week. A lot to consider here. The Raiders fired McDaniels early in the week. They are going to be led by Antonio Pierce now. They're changing quarterbacks. Jimmy G to the bench. Aiden O'Connell will start. The Giants are going to get Daniel Jones back. This is now Raiders minus 1.5. 37.5 is the total now for this game. I lean to the Raiders, honestly, Scotty. I think they're going to get a little lift with Pierce being the guy now and with O'Connell going in at quarterback.
Okay, fair enough. And I could see that happening. I don't have a problem with it. Generally, the flip of the pancake to a new coach leads to refreshed air in the room. They obviously had a major problem. And I think what the problem was is that Josh McDaniels is so white. And he's so lame and he's so terrible as a head coach. I think his head coaching career is over. I don't want him anywhere near my team. I heard people in Pittsburgh saying, let's get Josh McDaniels to replace Canada as offensive coordinator. I don't want anything to do with this guy. All you hear about him is bad stuff from players. No one likes him. No one on the Raiders liked him at all. They hated him. And they all wanted Pierce to be their coach. Now they're going to get what they asked for. But here's the deal. All this talk of Antonio Pierce being a great coach, to me, is a little bit blown out of proportion. Okay? I've already gone down the litany of reasons why he cheated at Arizona State. He was as dirty as the garbage dump cheating at Arizona State. Got away with murder. He and that Herm Edwards are nothing but dirty and crooked. I don't care what anybody says. Look at the bloodletting they left behind in Tempe. And now he's got a head coaching job. Now, I'll give him this. Like everyone's saying, oh, the players can relate to him. That's because he's a brother and he can talk to all those guys. Unlike white boy Josh, who can't relate to anyone. I'll give Pierce the brotherhood, the guy that's played in the league, that's won in the league, that's been in big games in the league, that can speak their language. I think he's going to be good at communicating with players way better than Josh McDaniels, but it doesn't mean that I think he's some great coach, okay? Because he's never coached. Only coaching he's done is cheating. Like, that's just face facts. Let's stop with this nonsense. I'm watching these people knobbing this guy today like he's Lombardi or something. Are you kidding me? This guy has done nothing but corruption and cheating. That's it. And now he's the head coach of the Raiders. And so suddenly, calm down, okay? So he can talk to all the brothers. Congratulations. You're 2-6. You guys suck. Let's see you turn that mess around.
Couple of 3-4 teams in Houston on Sunday as well. The Buccaneers and the Texans. Texans minus 2.5, flat 40 the total. I'm going to give you almost like the same. This is a big game in this aspect, Scotty. It's like the same thing we were saying about the Steelers last night in terms of, 4-4 and 5-3. They look a lot different. 4-4 looks a lot better than 3-5, whether you win or lose this game with these two teams.
I think the Texans are better than the Buccaneers. I also think that C.J. Stroud is better than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield looked good in the first 3 weeks. He's looked terrible ever since. And C.J. Stroud got beat last week on a last-second field goal. But now he's back at NRG in Houston. I like the Texans at home.
The Rams visit the Packers in Lambeau. Matthew Stafford will be a game-time decision, McVay said today. So they're going to take this all the way up to kickoff on Sunday for if Stafford's going to play. The Rams are getting 38.5 is the total. If he's in there, Scotty, I like the Rams. I don't care if he's banged up. I'm taking the Rams in Lambeau.
Yeah, I don't see him playing with this thumb problem. And I think their season is starting to end right before our very eyes. I think the Packers have been awful. And I think they're so desperate for a win. I think they get it on Sunday at Lambeau. I think the Packers find a way, and Love finally has a decent game. I'm going to give him decency at best. I'm not a fan of Jordan Love. I think his season has been a disaster.
Last one for you. I saved the best for last. Washington into Foxborough against the Patriots. Patriots minus 3. Flat 41, the total.
You know, I got to go with the Patriots because I understand they lost Bourne, fair enough. But the Washington Commanders gave away their entire defensive front at the trade deadline. Now they got a bunch of hacks playing, and I don't think they're going to get to Mac Jones. I don't care who he's throwing it to. I think he's going to have time to throw it. And their defense is physical and violent, and they play particularly better football when they're playing at Gillette in Foxborough than they do on the road. The Pats are an entirely different team at home than when they go on the streets. I like the Pats at home. I think the Commanders, I think Rivera's fired, and I think their season goes down the toilet when they gave up on Sweat and Young and said, bye-bye to our pass rush. See you later, season over.
I agree with you. I think it's Patriots or nothing for me in that game on Sunday at Foxborough. Pain Day, Sunday. Let's get it. Lots of good games. We'll have ourselves a good day. How about college football now? Ooh, I got two games tonight that we have to talk about. Boston College visits Syracuse in the Dome. This is now down to -2.5 for the Orange. 50.5 total. And you and Davis were talking about Colorado State and Wyoming in Laramie. -6 now. Flat 6 for Wyoming. 42.5 total.
Well, first of all, I bet Wyoming this morning at 5.5 in Laramie. Remember, I always told you, the one thing I worry about is Colorado State plays dirty football, and I like dirty football. If you aren't that good, you can always make up for your lack of good with dirty football. If you play dirty, hit dirty, cheap shots, let them know where your feelings are and emotions with headshots and everything else. Cheap shots, clotheslines, knee shots. I mean, kill the quarterback. You know, I've always said, kill the quarterback, win the game. Okay, so I worry about playing dirty teams and covering. Dirty teams cover. They don't win, they cover. They really do. Take a look at Colorado State. All right, and then the other game, listen to this. Momentum is why I think Boston College wins at the Dome tonight. Dino's team is Hairdryer City. They've lost 4 in a row. Sure, they suck, as usual. Remember, they try to sell me every single effing year that Syracuse football, when they're 3-0, is off and running, and that the Orange are going to have a great season. Let's just remember, it's a basketball school, okay? Calm down. They've never been good at football since Jim Brown, okay? And then here's the deal. Boston College has won 4 in a row. They've been playing great football. And they've been winning. I don't care who they play. When you win, you win. I think they go beat Syracuse tonight outright at the Dome.
I'm with you. I'm with BC tonight. BC and Wyoming for me on the Friday night games. Let's go. Saturday, lots of heavy hitters. Nick Saban and Alabama, they lost last year, Scotty, to Brian Kelly and LSU. That, of course, was in Baton Rouge. Now they go to Tuscaloosa, the return battle. Alabama's been playing very well. LSU already with a couple of losses this year. Here is Nick Saban saying all sorts of nice things about Brian Kelly as they get ready to square off on Saturday night.
Brian Kelly has been a really, really good coach wherever he's been for a long, long time. He's smart. They've got great system offensively. Players are well coached. They got discipline. They play hard. They play with toughness. They play with great intangibles. You know, he's got a winning process that has worked, you know, at Notre Dame, Cincinnati, every place he's ever coached. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for him, and I think he's doing an outstanding job there. I mean, you know, they went to the SEC championship game last year and, you know, got a really, really good team this year. So I think he's done an outstanding job.
I think Daniels is a problem for Alabama tomorrow, but I still think the Tide find a way with their defense. And I think, you know, Milroe can get it done. I think they can actually win this game and cover to 3. I think they win by a touchdown.
I'm with you. I've lost way too much money trying to go after Nick Saban at home. I'm not doing it this week. I don't care how short the number is. I don't care how good LSU's offense is. Alabama's defense is a lot better than LSU's defense. And that's going to be the difference in this game. As good as the LSU offense is, I'm on the -3, and probably if you like Alabama to win, you probably like the under, right? Under 61.5. I don't think it's a high scoring game. If Alabama's going to win and cover that,
they have to keep it under to win that game. They can't let Daniels run wild and score 35 points. They'll lose the game.
Agreed.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High. This big game at the Coliseum, Washington finally has a massive test on their hands. I don't care any way you slice it.
They certainly do as they go to the Coliseum to take on the Trojans. Washington, since beating Oregon, Scotty, haven't looked that sharp. Arizona State, Stanford, they've won, haven't been covering, been a lot closer than expected. USC here getting 3 points at home, and I love totals like this, Scotty. This is up to 77.5. 77.5. Gotta take the over. Let's go.
Look, I think that they're ripe for a loss the way they played the last couple of weeks. And I don't think the USC defense is going to be able to stop Penix from having a big night. I mean, a big night. I think he's going to throw for 400 or 500 yards. I mean, 500 yards. But I still think that Caleb Williams is going to find a way to cover that number and upset Washington at the Coliseum. Because for my money, if USC loses this game, I mean, they're starting to talk 7-3. You suck. I mean, you lose three games in a season at USC, people start calling for your head. Meanwhile, Lincoln Riley signed there until the apocalypse. Okay. He's got a lifetime deal in Los Angeles. So they better win this game, because if they keep losing games, they're going to wish they'd never hired him.
Yeah. I kind of like USC. Scotty, honestly, I think this is a nice spot for them at home to maybe play a little bit of spoiler here on the Huskies and give them their first loss of the season. All right, we'll come back. We got more college to do. We'll hear from Rich Sermonella with the Maxwell Minute. Then we've got Notre Dame, Clemson, the Bedlam game, Georgia, Missouri. I got three other racks of games to go through as well. A massive college football Saturday.
Sweet.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.